From the studios of NPR West, this is Day to Day. This month's American death toll in Iraq reaches 100. I'm Madeline Brand.
I'm Alex Chadwick. The latest casualty was a Marine. He died yesterday fighting in Iraq's Anbar province. Also, more than 30 Iraqis are reported dead after a series of explosions ripped through the Baghdad neighborhood of Sadr City this morning.
For Americans, October is now the deadliest month in Iraq this year. Despite this rise in violence, a number of U.S. troops continue to blog in support of the Iraq War. Coming up, we'll read from one of those blogs.
First, day-to-day contributor Shani Jardin reports on why the Pentagon is now cracking down on military blogs.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers? I want the truth!
John Noonan is an active duty serviceman who blogs at Op4.com, where you can listen to this podcast he produces with his buddy Charlie.
Hi, and welcome to Op4 Radio.
Military blogs like theirs feature first-person accounts of life on the front lines. By some estimates, there are about 1,200 such sites, linking the soldiers who write them in an online community and keeping them tied with friends and family back home. But military officials are now giving MILblogs more scrutiny for possible operational security or OPSEC risks.
I don't care. You want to take a picture of yourself and you're in front of a camel? That's great. I did it when I was in Iraq in 1991. But what if you're also holding a map in your hand that's going to show current operations?
Lieutenant Colonel Stephen Warnock heads the Army's Web Risk Assessment Cell based in Manassas, Virginia. He and his team review both official and unofficial Army websites for potential operational security violations. They look for text, photos, or videos that could reveal sensitive information.
Loose lips sink ships. People are always looking to confirm information. They want to know what information's out there. And that hasn't changed in years and years.
What has changed in recent years is the military administration's approach to blogs. When the war started back in 2003, they weren't as popular. But now, the military is demanding that soldiers using government computers and networks check with commanders before publishing posts. And before they hit the publish button, deployed soldiers must submit blog content to their commanders for review.
I think, frankly, it's a mistake on the part of the military.
Noah Schachtman, editor of DefenseTech.org, says when word of the perceived Pentagon crackdown spread among MILbloggers, some of the more popular sites voluntarily went quiet, fearing retribution.
There's, no better, no more enthusiastic, no more gung-ho advocates and spokespeople for the mission in Iraq than the guys that are actually out on the mission. And these are the guys they should be trumpeting. These are the guys they should be pumping up.
Schachtman believes the MILblog crackdown is an inevitable culture clash between military traditions of censorship and the expectations of young soldiers raised on open digital media.
You take an 18 or 19-year-old kid, put him through 6, 8, 10 weeks of training, give him a gun, and give them the responsibility and the power of life and death. And we're allowed to trust them with a rifle, but not with a mouse and a keyboard?
Critics like Schachtman say another problem is that regulations can be erratically enforced. Soldier blogger John Noonan with Op4.com.
The company commanders, the unit commanders, may flip through this Army regulation and read it as, we're not allowed to have any MILbloggers because it's an OPSEC risk. And so what we'll do is we'll just outlaw MILblogging in the unit.
If anybody gets that, they definitely don't get it from us.
Lieutenant Colonel Warnock counters that the work of his website security review team is based in practical concerns.
We monitor hundreds of thousands of web pages every month, and we monitor dozens to hundreds of blogs. If we see something, we identify it, we review it and come to a decision whether it does violate operation security, and then we will send a notification to the person, if we can identify the person as being, a soldier. And we say, take a look at this. Does this pass the common sense test to you? Because 99% of the time, it comes down to common sense.
The MILbloggers are organizing among themselves to discuss how to help the administration address security concerns without creating a chilling effect for soldier bloggers. A first-ever MILblog conference took place in Washington, D.C. this past April. Retired paratrooper and Army officer Matthew Currier Burden was there. He blogs at black5.net and recently compiled MILblog excerpts for his book, The Blog of War.
A lot of people talk about how the society is disconnected from the military, and I don't think it's as much as some other people do. But, you know, this is one way you keep your society connected with your military, is by providing these sort of outlets of information for people to go and find.
Burden and other MIL bloggers plan to meet and discuss these issues again next May. For NPR News, I'm Shani Jardin.